Okay, with the Stolchemash, we're 1090, the last word on the page. The last time we discussed a bunch of interesting things about tshuva, ad Hashem Elokecha, nadla Hashem Elokecha, listening to Hashem, and so on and so forth. Okay, now the pasuk says, 1090, the last word, starting 1092. Ki ha-mitzvah hazeis, asher anechi mitzavcha hayim, because this mitzvah that I'm giving you today, now the commentaries discuss which mitzvah, the Torah doesn't say which mitzvah we're talking about. Torah just says, this mitzvah that I'm giving you today. So the Ramban learns, this refers to the mitzvah of tshuva. Because right before this, the Torah says you should do tshuva. And then the Torah says, this mitzvah that I'm giving you, so obviously it refers to the mitzvah of tshuva. Other commentaries learn, it refers to any mitzvah that I'm giving you, all of Torah mitzvah that I'm giving you. And in fact, as we'll soon see, the real interpretation is not only the mitzvah of tshuva, it's every single mitzvah of the Torah. Okay, so this mitzvah, she'anechi mitzavcha hayim, that I'm commanding you today, lei niflesi mimcha, it's not hidden from you, lei rechoykehi, I'm going to say, we read this a little bit last week, but we didn't discuss it at all. Lei niflesi mimcha, it's not hidden from you, lei rechoykehi, it's not far. Because Rashi says, if it would be far, you'd have to go get it anyway. But the Torah says, it's not far, it's not hidden from you. Leiba shemayim hi, it's not in the heavens. To say, mi yale lanu ha-shemayma, who will go up to the heavens, v'yikochel lanu, and take it for us, v'yashmiyeno isa, and then we'll hear it, v'nasen, and we'll do it. You know, it's not in the heavens that you have to take ladders and go up to the heavens, or I'm going to read you a few, because there's a lot of things here to discuss. V'lei me'eva layam hi, it's not on the other side of the ocean. To say, mi'ave lanu le'eva layam, who's going to go across the ocean? V'yikochel lanu, take it to us. V'yashmi'eino eisen, we'll hear it, v'nasen, and we'll do it. It's not that. It's not in the heavens. It's not far. It's not hidden. It's not overseas. Kadev elecha adav ma'ed, it's very close. Not only close. It says, Dover Ma'id, page 1092. Beficha, bovavcha, laseise. In your mouth and in your heart to do. So, just taking these six lines in the simple meaning of it, Hashem says, you know, it's not so difficult to do, it's accessible, Torah is not in the heavens, Torah is not overseas, okay? Now, it's not a difficult journey. It's not a difficult journey to study Torah, to keep Torah. It's close, easy, very easy for a person to do it. So the obvious question is, it's not easy for a person to do. What's the Torah telling? Yeah, what's the Torah telling us? Karev elacha, it's close. Not only is it close, but mo'ed, it's very close. How can it be very close? We know the most disciplined, or that's a better word than restricted, that some people use. It's a much, much different than a restricted religion from the minute you wake up in the morning. Before you open your eyes, the Torah is already telling you what to do. The Torah tells you how to open your eyes, how to wake up in the morning, what to say, what to do. The whole day, you go to the bathroom, the Torah tells you how to do it. You go to business, the Torah says how to do it. You eat, the Torah says how to do it. Whatever you do, you go to sleep, the Torah says what to do. Again, there's no free time here. And yet the Torah says, it's extremely close. But before we get over here, there's a lot of interpretations, by the way, of what it means, leiba shemayim hi. It means, some people in the Talmud, the Medrash, it says a lot of different interpretations. Leiba shemayim hi, what does it mean? It's not in the heavens. Torah does not find itself in haughty people. People that think they're better, they're heavenly people, they're better than everybody else. The Torah says, Leiba Shemayim Hi. Torah does not find itself in people that are haughty. And by the way, even if you would be haughty, you'd still have the obligation to keep the Torah. V'lo Me'ever Layam Hi. The Gemara says, what does that mean? It's not in for people that have to travel overseas. In other words, sometimes people, if they're doing a lot of traveling and business, they don't have time to study Torah. So the pasuk says, you really want to acquire Torah, you should know. It's not if you have haughtiness. It's not Me'ever Al-Yam. It's for people, you know, olden times they traveled overseas. You're talking about a 6-month journey in one direction, 6-month journey in another direction, and maybe you stayed there for a day. But it was, the Torah, you can't acquire Torah like this. It has to be very close and very easy. Now, the mitzvah, the Pasuk also says, Asher Anechi Mitzavcha Hayayim, that I'm commanding you today. What does it mean, I'm commanding you today? Every day, Torah and mitzvahs has to be looked at as if God is commanding it today. It's not an old 3,500-year book that's boring already. You know, S-O-S-O, same old, same old. It has to be, every day has to be Hayayim, that every day, and we'll learn, when we discuss this whole thing, the way Al Rebbe explains it in Tanya and other places, other commentaries, we'll see exactly what the Torah is talking about over here. Let's first discuss, how is it, what does it mean, it's very close and easy, and then the Torah adds, b'ficha on your mouth, b'lvavcha your heart, la'aseise to do, which is thought, speech, and action. Machshava, dibur, and maise. B'ficha is speech, b'lvavcha your heart is thought, la'aseise is action, which represents thought, speech, and action. And the Torah says it's very simple. So there's two explanations. How could it be so easy?
For infinity, it's easy.
Yeah, but talking about, I'm commanding you, for you it's easy. We're not talking about it's easy for God. We're talking about, God doesn't have the mitzvahs. He gives it to us. He doesn't need the mitzvahs. But for us, it's easy. Now, why is it easy? A person is born, okay, by nature, by teva, tudase, a person is born, if they're a human, with the ability of a few key words, moach shalit al halev, the mind controls the heart. The key to proper behavior, whether it's a religious behavior, moral behavior, ethical behavior, it doesn't matter what it is. The key to morals and ethics, and definitely Yiddishkeit, is that the mind controls the heart. And if your mind doesn't control the heart, you're actually subhuman. But what do I mean is subhuman? A person whose heart controls that, meaning what I want, I do, whether it's right or wrong, or whether it's proper or not, or, you know, kosher or not, so to speak, that is actually a subhuman person. Because a person by nature has the ability from birth that the mind can control the heart. That's the way God set up the person, with that ability. Obviously, if a person doesn't want, there's nothing God could do about it. But by nature, we have the ability that the mind controls the heart. Therefore, if there's something, speaking about religion, yeah, something that the Torah says, I don't want you to do, but I really want to do it, because I enjoy doing it. I enjoy eating it, thinking it, saying it, doing it. It doesn't matter. I really enjoy it. So if the person knows that it's wrong, the mind has the ability to say, you know what? I'm not doing it, even though I really want to do it. If it's something the Torah says you must do, and the person says, I don't want to do it. I'm too lazy. I don't want to do it. If the mind controls the heart, then the person has the ability to do it even though they don't want to do it. That is human nature.
So would you say heart is equal to Satan?
The Satan resides in the left side of the heart.
By the way, this says in the Pasuk, Satan emed al yaminei. But anyway, the Satan's on the right side. But it doesn't mean that if they allow the heart to control them. It's not that the heart is bad. The heart is desires. Right? You have a choice to pick what you desire. It's not that the heart is the seat of emotions. The heart wants. Ha'ayin raya v'alev chomed. The eye sees and the heart wants. What the heart is just wants. Now what the heart should want or does want, that is where the brain comes in by a person, not by an animal. An animal runs on instinct. There's no good and bad. and we'll see the psukim in the next psukim over here about God giving us good and bad. A person has the ability to have the desires of the heart based on the intellect of the person.
What if the person is not intelligent?
If they're human, the human intellect. We don't have to have a high IQ for this. You don't need to have an IQ to be a moral person. I'll tell you a little secret. Most people with a high IQ are the immoral ones.
Because they think
they figure out how to get away with it. You know, the world has an expression, the sin is not stealing, the sin is getting caught.
True.
You know what I mean? If you can steal without getting caught, then you're good, you know? The sin is getting caught. Obviously, which is not correct. Okay, so
when you want something and Yetzer Hara is getting into you and you want it.
Because then the Yetzer Hara is convincing you to want something God doesn't want. But that's going against your own nature, your natural intellect. If your natural intellect understands what's right and what's wrong, then you want and desire what's right and what's wrong.
The person can want good things too.
Obviously, in order to know what's right and wrong, you need to be educated.
All right. What if the majority of the people are not educated in such things? So how could you blame them for
Listen, that? You're right. But a person has a response. You know, you can't get a driver's license and then go through a red light and tell the cop, I never knew you can't go through a red light. You can't say, I stole because I was never educated not to steal. Or I murdered somebody because I was never educated not to... If you're a human being, there's certain laws of morality and right and wrong that you need to know just because you're a human person, a being. By Torah, it's more because then you need the Torah education. That's why education is extremely important. But the concept of the mind controlling the heart is when I understand something is wrong, I have the ability not to do it. Or if I understand something is right, I have the ability to do it. And that's why the Torah says, Karev elecha hadavar ma'ed. It's very close and easy for a person to serve God in your thought, speech, and action. And if you notice, the pasuk doesn't say it's very close and easy to love God or to fear God. That is a lofty level. To actually reach a level of loving and fearing God to the ultimate extreme is a very, very difficult level. But the Torah says that's not a mitzvah. The mitzvah is in thought, speech, and action. That's where the Torah says it's very close and easy. Because I can understand intellectually that I need to do something, right, that's right, even though I hate doing it. Or I can understand intellectually that I should not be doing something even though I do love it. So the mind can control when it comes to thought, speech, and action. And therefore, as Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, the person that's called the Beinoni, the intermediate person who doesn't sin, not in thought, not in speech, not in action. Every Jew could be a Beinoni. Because the Torah over here is saying it's close and easy for a person to be, if they want to be. Because the mind controls the heart. You cannot, it's not easy to reach a level of killing the evil inclination or elevating it to holiness, making it into a Yetzer Tov. That not everybody could do. But in thought, speech, and action, that the Torah says, Karev elecha hadavar ma'ed. Not only is it easy, but it's very easy. And then the additional explanation of this is, which is connected, is because a person, because we have a soul, which is a part of Hashem, we have the ability to awaken the soul to create enough of a love and fear, not to really love and fear God like we love food and other things, but enough we can stimulate within us enough love of God to help us do the things we need to do.
For
Hashem, Torah mitzvahs, no? That Torah mitzvahs, we could stimulate it. Why? Because every Jew has a neshama within them, and this neshama is a part of God. And this neshama could be stimulated very easily, because it's not something that you have to create within the person. The neshama is not something that you need to create in the person. The neshama is there. It's really in full steam. The only problem is, it's covered with a lot of mud. Okay, you can have a diamond in the ground. It's there, the full diamond is there. You don't have to put the diamond there. The diamond is there. But if you want to reveal it, you need to remove the dirt. So sometimes you can have dust covering something. You blow on it, you clear the dust. Sometimes you need a little bit of a shovel. Sometimes you need a bulldozer. It depends how much mud you have covering you. But the bottom line is, when you take the bulldozer that some people might need, but you don't have to create it. The diamond is there. The neshama is there. So all you have to do is remove the dirt. It's much easier removing the dirt than creating something that's not there. And that's why the pasuk says, last week we discussed, Leba Shemaim Hi, the Torah is not dictated in heaven, even if a voice comes out from heaven. Remember we said that last? Even if a voice comes out from heaven, it still cannot dictate Torah because Torah has to be on the earthly things. But there's another very interesting concept over here like this. On the fourth line, okay, it says like this. In the second line. Leba Shemayim Hi, Torah is not in the heaven. Lamer to say, Mi Yale Lonu Hashemayim. Who will go up to the heaven and take it for us? It's not in the heaven. 1092. Now we're discussing the third line on the page. If you look at the letters, we learned a mimer about this, by the way. If you look at the first letters of the pasuk, the four words, Mi Yale Lonu Hashemayma, is Mem Yud Lamed Hey, which is Mila, Bris Mila. Look at the last letters of that word. Mi is a Yud, Yale is a Hey, Lonu Avav, Hashemayma is a Hey, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei. So the pasuk begins, Mi Yale Lonu Hashemayma. The first letters of those four words is Mem Yud Lamed Hey, which is Mila, circumcision. And the end letters of the word is Yud Hey Vav Hey. Right? Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hashem's name. Which shows two things. Number one, that circumcision and God's name are interconnected, because in the same four words, it's the first letters and the second letters, the last letters of the word. But secondly, which is more interesting, it's self-understood, the first letters are higher than the last letters. That's the rule in Torah. If you have a Rosh Tevis or a Sofer Tevis, the beginning letters or the end letters, the beginning letters are higher than the end letters. Right? That's the way it works in Torah. That means that the concept of Mila, of circumcision, is even greater than the name of Yudke Vavke, than the name of Hashem. Right? Now how could that be that the concept of circumcision is a level which is even higher than the actual name of Hashem of Yudke Vavke, and therefore this is the beginning letters and this is the end letters. But by Mila, okay, there's a certain uniqueness of a revelation of God that is infinitely greater than the relationship of world with God. We know the difference between, one of the zillion differences between Jews and Arabs, again, zillions of differences, Jews have a bris at 8 days old, and Arabs have it at 13, because the original Arab, Yishmol, circumcised himself at 13, so many of them do it at 13. Many of them. And by Jews, we do it at 8 days old. What's the difference between an 8 day old bris and a 13 year old bris? Besides the pain. We'll not go there. What's the difference between an 8 day old bris and a 13 year old bris? It's very simple. 13 year old bar mitzvah represents adulthood, maturity, intellect. That means a 13-year-old bris symbolizes an intellectual bond with Hashem. I understand that it's important to connect, so therefore I'll do a bris at 13, because I need intellectually to understand, I need to connect to Hashem. 8 days old, the Torah doesn't say to do a bris on the 7th day. Right? Obviously the Torah says to do a bris on the 8th day. It's not because the kid's not healthy enough. Most kids, if they could do it on the 8th day, you could do it on the 7th day. Okay?
Supernatural.
So what's the number 8? 8 represents supernatural. 7 days represent time. 7 days a week. The 8th day is not, the Sunday is not the 8th day. It's the 1st day of the new week. Time is divisible by 7. That's why, as we're reading in these weeks' parshas with the menorah, there are 7 branches on the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, because in the Beis HaMikdash, the relationship with God was a natural, time-bound connection with God. 7. 8. Who said what?
No,
oh, okay, it's only you. What? I mean, what? 8 represents the supernatural. There's a very famous Klei Yoker, one of the famous Chumash commentaries, at the beginning, Vayhi Bayom HaShmini, Pasha Shmini begins with Bayom HaShmini, the Klei Yoker elaborates, what's this inyan of 8? He says, 8 represents above time and place. 7 represents time and place. 8 represents, that's the advantage of Hanukkah, the Hanukkah menorah, which is 8 candles, over the temples, which is 7, because 8 represents the supernatural. When a kid is 8 days old, there is no intellect, there's no maturity, there's no understanding, there's no nothing, except crying. Okay? What is an 8-day-old baby? Eat, sleeps, goes to the bathroom, and continues. Eat, sleeps, goes to the and cries. In fact, that's very important. It cries a lot. So what's represented, the concept of 8? 8 represents the supernatural level. The name of Hashem, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, even though it represents Mahave, Creator, even though Yud-Kei Vav-Kei represents, if you play with the letters, Hoya, Hove, and Yihyeh, past, present, and future, simultaneously in one word, but nevertheless, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei represents the 10 attributes of God. Yud is Chochma, He is Bina, Vav are the 6 attributes, and He is Malchus. So the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei represents the 10 attributes of God, which is again the 10 attributes in the worlds of godliness, in the holy worlds, in the spiritual realms, which is again connecting to time and place, world. Bismillah is the level of connection with God with an essential bond. Okay? Now it's interesting, in Lashon Kodesh, at least not in Ivrit, but in biblical language, there's Shamayim and there's Hashamayim, Hashamayma. There's Aretz and there's Arza. In Yaakov Avinu's dream, you know, with the ladder, it says, Sula Mutzav Arza, Vereshi Magia Hashamayim, Hashamayim. Or here it says, Hashamayma. Okay? There's heaven and earth. Eretz is earth, Shamayim is heaven. Arza is the lowest in earth. Hashamayim, or Hashamayma in Torah, is higher than Shamayim. Okay? What is the Pasuk telling us over here? Mi yale lono Hashamayma, who will go up to the heavens, to the highest level of heavens above time and place? That's through the concept of Bris Mila, through circumcision. What is this level of circumcision? The guy asked one of the great sages of the Gemara, if the foreskin, God says, is despicable, that God says, take it off, yeah? So he asked him a very simple, practical, goyish question. Why didn't God make us without a foreskin? He makes it with a foreskin, and then he says, okay, guys, cut it off. don't make it and don't cut it. What's the big deal? It doesn't make sense. He makes something and then he says, you know what, I don't like it, cut it. So don't make us with it. God can make us without it.
He wants to see if we do it.
No.
And I
because once, what does it mean? Hashem says, I want you to understand, and this is part of this brilliance over here. I need you to understand that you are not perfect as a human being. You are incomplete. You are not perfect. And your role is to perfect yourself. That is the concept of Bris Mila, which you don't take an intellectual 13-year-old kid and explain logically and rationally why this is something that needs to be done and how important it is. The Torah says, you take a baby, 8 days, when he reaches the level of the supernatural, and over there, you tell him, Mi Yal Elon HaShemayim, the first words of this pasuk, of going up to a level higher than the heavens, is the level of Mila, which is even greater than the level of Yudke Vavke, which are the end letters of the four words. Now, what's your problem?
Excuse me, I have a question.
For a change.
You said when a child is born, it doesn't understand anything. Yet, in a previous conversation we've had, you said that the child knows everything and knows how to speak until they start eating wheat. That's when they start conversing. That's from one.
The Gemara says that.
Yeah. So why is this contradiction now that you're saying that?
Why is it contradiction? An 8-day-old kid still doesn't have intellect. It doesn't have maturity.
You said that knows how to speak at the time.
No, he says when he starts eating food,
correct.
Then he becomes a little bit mature enough to talk. But he's not mature when a kid babbles away at 2 years old or whatever it is, or 1 year old, depending how much they talk. They're not intellectual. They can't rationalize. So he said a few words. Here we're talking about the bond between a Jew and a God, between a Jew and Hashem, is that there is an essential bond which is above time and place, which is above intellect, and this is what happens when a Jew does a Bris Milah. By the way, the Gemara says women are considered circumcised. What it means? That this level of the bond with God, women have it without having to do a bris. But it's the concept of miyal olon hashemayim, it's even higher than yudke vavke. And therefore, Hashem commanded Avram to do it. Because this answers another very interesting question that we learned in the Maimer. The Gemara says Avram kept the whole Torah before it was given. Yeah? So why didn't he do bris milah? He did everything but bris milah. When he was 99 years old, Hashem said to him, okay, do a bris. Yeah? If he did the whole Torah, why didn't he do bris milah? Because Avram Avinu, the Alter Rebbe explains, Avram Avinu understood that this connection with God must be commanded by God. Because it's too great. That if you're not commanded, don't forget, they weren't commanded to keep mitzvahs. They kept it because they wanted to, but they weren't commanded to do it. This bond with God can only come when you're commanded by God to do it. Because that seals the bond, because God commanded you to do it. Without the command, you wouldn't have it. So Avraham Avinu said, listen, tefillin I could do every day. I can't redo a bris. It's done, it's done. So I don't want to lose out the uniqueness of a bris without God commanding me to do it. And therefore the pasuk says, Be'etzem hayem hazeh nimal Avraham. The pasuk, when Avraham did the bris, it says in the pasuk, in the middle of the day. That's what it literally means. Which Rashi says, people said, oh, we're going to stop you, you're an old man, we're not going to let you do it. Avraham wasn't afraid, he did it in the middle of the day. But in Chassidus, in Kabbalah, it says, Be'etzem means the essence, not only in the middle. Etzem is the bone, the essence. In the essence of Hayyim, Yom means day, revelation. Zeh is this day, meaning you're pointing to it. It's a revelation in a revelation, meaning the ultimate level of revelation. Avram Avinu, by doing a bris, connected himself to the essence of the God, higher than Yudke Vavke, higher than the name of God, higher than heaven, higher than earth. He connected himself to the essence of God. And this is what the Pasuk says. This mitzvah that I'm giving you, this is what happens when a Jew does mitzvahs. Yeah, the Ramban says, ki ha-mitzvah hazeis, the mitzvah doesn't say which mitzvah, refers to the mitzvah of tshuva, which is the essence also of all mitzvahs. Tshuva, the concept of repentance, of connection to Hashem. But the Pasuk says, it's not in the heaven, to say, mi yale lanu ha-shamayim, who's going to go up? It is very close and easy for a person to do it. Other things, the commentaries explain another point over here. Not about bris milah. What?
The obligation is obviously for the parent to, it's not for the actual child, obviously, because they can't...
Well, if the parent didn't do it, by the way, when the kid becomes bar mitzvah, it's the obligation of the kid, not the parent.
But until the kid's bar mitzvah...
Yeah, because just practically speaking, he can't do it.
Right. Okay, so it applies to the parents, obviously.
Right. But eventually, the kid has an obligation himself to do a bris. If the parent, for whatever reason... Huh? Well, it depends. If you have a foreskin, not a foreskin, I mean, whatever. But sometimes you'd have to do a bris. But there's another thing that Mefarshim explain over here like this. It says, before a baby's born, and this explains another reason why Kadev Elach HaDavah made, why it's very close and easy for a person to become close to Hashem. Before a baby is born, the Gemara says, when the kid is in the womb of the mother, there's a ner daluk, there's a candle lit, and an angel comes and teaches him the entire Torah.
Boys and the girls, or just the boys?
Boys and the girls.
No, just the girls. The boys tag along.
And then they come.
1 second. And then, when the baby is coming out, the Gemara says the angel comes and gives, in Yiddish it's called a schnell unter the nose, you know, a whack under the nose, makes him forget the Torah, and then he says, now go learn it yourself. This is what the Gemara said. So the commentaries all ask, what in the world is the purpose of teaching him the Torah? That they forget it, just don't teach him, and don't forget. I mean, like, it's ridiculous. You teach him the kid that... teaching the kid the Torah, and then he forgets it. So what's the purpose of it? So the answer is, there's many concepts here, but one answer is, what gives the child the ability to learn God's Torah later? How can a finite mind grasp infinite wisdom of God? It's only because the angel came and taught it to him. So even though he forgot it, like we all know, you learn something, you forget it, but then you hear it again, you say, oh yeah, I remember now. So this gives the ability, and that's why the Torah says, Ki karev elecha davar meid. Why is it very close and easy? Because again, you learned it already. You did it already. You know? So therefore, it's not that difficult to be able to learn it again, and it's not something far-fetched. Another thing over here that says Torah is lay b'shamayim. Torah is not in the heavens. And Rashi says if it would be in the heavens, you have to take ladders and go up there and climb and get it. He said lay b'shamayim, he means Torah is not dictated in heaven, only the earthly court does it, right? But we mentioned now, passing, that lay b'shamayim means Torah is not found in haughty people. If a person's haughty, they cannot have proper Torah understanding. They could be brilliant, but then they have what's called Talmud knowledge, but they don't have Torah. We mentioned many times, somebody once came to the previous Rebbe and said, he bragged to the previous Rebbe, I learned a lot of Torah. So in Yiddish, you say, Ich gelernt asach Torah. I learned a lot of Torah. So it's a play of words. The Rebbe answered him in Yiddish, Aber wasset de Torah dir eis gelernt. In other words, forget the incorrect English. He said to the Rebbe, I learned a lot of Torah. So the Rebbe answered him back, but what did the Torah learn you? What did the Torah teach you? So you have a lot of knowledge, but what did it do to you? What did it make you? When a person studies Torah, as generally speaking, knowledge creates ego. Just like money creates ego, knowledge creates ego. I have a lot of knowledge. I'm better than you. I have a lot of money. I'm better than you. I don't know why, but that's the fact. People think. Obviously, it's not true. So what does it mean? Why can Torah be found in a haughty person? So it's very simple. Torah is God's wisdom. It's infinite. In order to accept, to internalize the sanctity of Torah, meaning not knowledge of Torah, the sanctity, the kedusha of Torah, a person must be an empty vessel. I don't mean empty in a, that you're full of emptiness. You need to be full of humility. If you're full of yourself, you can't learn Torah. You can learn knowledge. You can learn Talmud. You can learn Bible. You can learn codifiers. You can learn a lot of knowledge. But Torah as God's Torah, Hashem's wisdom, Hashem's constitution, Hashem's way of life, Hashem's toy that he plays with, the Medrash says. This can only be when a person has humility. And that's what the Torah says, Leiba Shemayim Hi. Torah will not be in the heavens. If you think you're God, you know, heavenly, then you'll never get Torah. It's not there. It's not by people that are haughty. And that's why we explained what the Rabbeinu Yehuda says in the Gemara. The Gemara says that why was the land of Eretz Yisrael destroyed? Not the temple. But why was Menei Mechor Va'aretz? The Gemara says, why was the land destroyed? And the Gemara says, Shlei Berchu B'Torah Tchila. They didn't make a bracha before they learned Torah. You know, we make a bracha, B'Nesen HaTorah B'Rashem Bracha Banu, you know. The brachas in the morning that we say. So the Gemara says, in the Nedarim, the reason why Eretz Yisrael was the land was destroyed, because they didn't make a bracha on the learning. So Rabbeinu Yaina was one of the early commentators of the Gemara and codifier, asked the question, if you put on tefillin without a bracha, you still did the mitzvah. If you light Shabbos candles without the bracha, you still did the mitzvah. If you bench lulav and esrog without the, you still did the mitzvah. Okay? It doesn't say they didn't learn. If they said they didn't learn and that's why the land was destroyed, I understand. They didn't learn Torah. The Gemara doesn't say they didn't learn Torah. They did learn Torah. The problem is they didn't see the blessing on the Torah. What's wrong with that? So what? So you say missed out the blessing. Big deal. But the answer, when it comes to Torah learning, the bracha is a vital part of the actual learning. What's the bracha? Baruch ato Hashem, Nesein HaTorah, that it's Hashem's Torah. And if it's God's wisdom, a person has to understand and have humility to understand, who am I? You could be Einstein or whoever, but still you're a limited brain. Who am I to be able to learn God's infinite wisdom? Who am I? And this, by the way, is not only stuff semantics of words. This is a whole attitude. Many, many people, when they learn Torah, and they don't understand it, or they comes to a mitzvah, and they, I don't get this one. I don't, you know, whatever. That attitude is detrimental. It's a dangerous attitude. It shows that you're not doing God's Torah, and you're not learning God's Torah. Because if you really understand that this is Hashem's wisdom, Hashem's mitzvah, the question is not why I don't understand. How could you understand? You're a moron. Your brain is finite. You're a moron. Even Einstein, right? Compared to the infinite wisdom, is a moron. Right? A fool.
Not
By Hashem it says, Hakol kiftayim etzli, by God, everybody's a pasi, everybody's a fool, everybody's even lower than a fool. The question is not why I don't understand what I'm learning. The question is, how do I think I understand anything that I think I understand? That's the question. That attitude in learning, number one, is humility. It's bittul. And then because of your humility with that attitude, you absorb the sanctity of Torah, not the wisdom of Torah. Wisdom, you can have ego, it doesn't matter. The sanctity of Torah, you don't get because you're full of yourself. And you don't realize it's God's Torah, and we're all morons, and it's impossible to understand. Or if I don't understand the reason of a mitzvah, it's not because the mitzvah is wrong. The question is not why we don't understand the reason of mitzvahs. The question is, how could we understand any of the reasons of mitzvahs if they're God's mitzvahs and we're human? That's the point. And that's why this all these psukim, these six lines or so, these few psukim that we have, is really fundamental in the whole attitude of a Jew in Yiddishkeit. And Hashem says, Ki ha-mitzvah, this is the whole thing. This mitzvah that I'm commanding you today, and by the way, when you understand everything we just said before, then we can understand why the Torah says I'm commanding you today. Because if it's God's wisdom, it's above time and place. It's not time and place anymore. It's above time. It's God's. It's godly. If it's godly, it's Menachem Mitzav Chayim, I'm commanding you today. And therefore, it's not concealed. It's revealed. It's not far. It's not in the heavens. And it's not overseas. And you have a soul. You have a neshama. This neshama is one with God, which is one with Torah. And therefore you have this interesting connection. In fact, there's a very interesting expression in the Zohar, which is just a little bit mathematically difficult to understand. The Zohar says, Talas Kishrin Miskashrin Da Bada. The Zohar says like this. There's three Kesher. Talas is three. Talas Miskashrin. Talas Kishrin. Three knots Miskashrin Da Bada are connected one to another. God to Torah and Torah to Jews. Okay? So it simply means the Zohar says three things are connected. God to Torah to Jews. Correct? But the problem is, when you have three things, one is connected to two, and two is connected to three, you only have two knots, not three. If A, B, C are connected, so A and B is one knot, B and C is another knot. So you don't have three knots, you have three things. But the Zohar says there's three knots connected one to the next. And the answer is, what the Zohar means is, Hashem, Torah, Jew, back to Hashem. In other words, it's a circle. So Hashem is bound to the Jew to Torah, the Torah is bound to the Jew, and now the Jew is tied to Hashem. So it's three knots that are all close. And why? And the Torah says, "Ki kariv elacha davar meid." It's very close and easy. And this is it. This is the connection between the Jew and Hashem. Everybody's so quiet today. Okay.
So beautiful.
Okay, let's start the next passage. No questions? How could it be? Okay. Le'ei nosati l'fanach hayom is also a very strange passage. The pasuk says, "Look, I'm giving you today as a chayim v'satev, life and good, v'samavis v'sara, and bad and death and evil." Okay. So he brings on at the bottom that Rabbi Yochanan said, "From the day Hashem made this declaration, goodness and evil do not emanate from his mouth. Rather, evil comes from its own accord to one who does evil, and good comes to one who does good." Part of educating kids, and the way it works with kids, is you don't punish the kids. You don't reward the kids, and you don't punish the kids. The parent has nothing to do, huh?
It's
going to
be consequences.
It's consequences. It's not reward and punishment. It's consequences. That means, just to give, for little kids, yeah? You're playing with your toys. You don't put away your toys, I'm going to take them away. Correct? You're not going to have them anymore. That's punishment. That doesn't work. Because then the parent is the bad guy, or girl, punishing the child. Consequences mean, is nothing to do with me. You put away your toys, you will have them to play with next time. If you don't put away the toys, the consequences, you won't have them. It's nothing to do with me. You're calling the shots. It's not the parent punishing the child. It's not the parent rebuking the child. It's very simple. You do put away the toy, you'll have the toy to play with. By the way, this works in all ages. Obviously, you're not going to tell a teenager you put away with the Legos. Huh? It's not positive reinforcement. It's not reward and punishment. It's called consequences. And that's what the Pasuk says over here. What Rabbi Yechanan says is, when God said this declaration, means God saying, now it's up to you. This is good, this is bad. Life and death. You can pick life, you can pick death. It's your choice. It has nothing to do with me anymore.
What's wrong with death?
Huh?
What's wrong with death? To be united with your Creator. I mean, I don't understand it.
You want to die?
Why not?
If somebody came to you, God forbid, you would say, shoot me?
Of course.
Well, if you're Jack Benny, you'd see what's more important, the money or your life.
Why do you say, I want to be united with my Creator? It's the greatest gift.
Let me tell you a little secret.
What?
You missed the point.
I don't miss anything.
The greatest gift God
gives. Not that. You can't connect yourself to Creator if you're not alive. The only way you can connect yourself to your Creator is by being alive and doing what He wants. Once you're dead, there's no mitzvahs, there's no connection anymore. What you connected in this world is what you stay connected to. What you disconnected in this world, you're disconnected. The only way you could connect to your Creator is when you're alive in a body, to do good and bad. Not to do bad, I mean, you know.
We're all part of Hashem, right?
I understand. But God doesn't want us there. You for sure not, but we don't want you here either, I don't know. I told you there's a story, this chassid, in fact, it's Rabbi Josh Gordon's grandfather, Rabbi Yechon Gordon. He lay by the Rebbe's minyan. He was the Gabbai. He was a very, very great Jew, but he had a very great sense of humor. So one time, in the middle of the Rebbe's Fabrengen on the Shabbos, he fainted. He sat behind the Rebbe. He fainted. So they took him out to get some fresh air, whatever. So anyway, the Rebbe went out. After the Fabrengen, the Rebbe went up to Mincha. So Rabbi Yechon and Gordon was sitting there on a bench, resting. So the Rebbe went like, what happened? In Yiddish. So he said to the Rebbe, like they had a very good sense of humor. He says to the Rebbe, listen, the truth is I died. But Shabbos, Gehenim is closed. So he couldn't put me in Gehenim. In Gan Eden, they didn't want me. So he sent me back down. That's why I'm here. It's witty. So Gehenim is closed. I couldn't get in there. Gan Eden, they didn't want to let me in. So I had no choice. They sent me back here. That's what happened. People shouldn't know. God doesn't want us to die. Okay. So he says like this. What is the definition of good and bad? What is the definition of life and death? You know, because another pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Re, it says, "Ubachata b'chayin, you should choose life." So the question is obviously, which fool the Gemara says is going to choose death? That's what the Gemara said, not me. I'm just quoting the Talmud. The Gemara said, which fool is going to choose death? But if you analyze the situation, we're all choosing death.
That's right.
Because good and life is what God wants us to do. Right? The Pasuk says, we say this Pasuk whenever we take out the Torah, Va'atem hadveikim b'ashem elokeichem, Chayim kolchem ayim. You are clinging to God. You are all alive. Alive. God is the real essence of life. God always was, is, and will be. Something which is sometimes alive, sometimes not alive, is not real life. So, what's real life? God is the real life. So when we connect ourselves to Hashem by doing Torah mitzvahs, so then we're alive. Right? When we don't, then we're dead. So, if a person chooses to sin, what they actually did is they just chose death. Spiritual death, not physical death, obviously. But spiritual death is worse than physical death. Because physical death, we're anyway only here for 120 years. So even our life is not a real life. So when you die, you die. But spirituality is permanent. That's eternal. So spiritual death is even worse than physical death. So when the question is asked, which fool is going to choose death over life? The Torah says, the truth is, whenever you choose not to listen to Hashem, so then you're choosing death. Whenever you're choosing to listen to Hashem, then you're choosing life.
And then you say every time that we say the Tachbun, we're forgiven for all our sins.
If you mean it.
Huh?
If you mean it.
Yeah, of course you mean it.
Of course you mean it, yeah.
If you didn't mean it.
Can I ask you a question? Do you know that people that finish Davin don't even remember if they Davined? No. So how much did they mean what they said?
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate, yeah. So the Torah says, I'm giving you the choice of life and good,
so therefore, Hashem and death and evil. That we're imperfect and does not expect us to be perfect.
It says that, we mentioned this, I believe, not that long ago. If you look at the beginning of Chumash, when God created Adam and Chava, he never mentioned a word about death. Death was only mentioned after they sinned.
When Hashem wanted
them. When they sinned in the tree, when they ate from the tree, that's when God said, you're going to die, and I don't want you to eat from the tree of life and live forever, so therefore I'm banishing you from Gan Eden, and you're going to eventually die. The first mention of death was only mentioned after they sinned in the Eitz Hadas. Before that, there was no mention or concept of death in the Torah. Why is that? So it says that good is accumulative, good is eternal. And that even when a person dies, everything good they did comes around with them the next time. That's why you remember in that God that says, Rabbi Lozman Isaiah said, I'm like a man like 70, because he was the reincarnation, he was only 18. But why did he say I'm like a man of 70? Because he was the reincarnation, the Gilgul of the Neshama of Shmuel, Hanavi, who died at 52. And he was 18, so together with 70. So he said I'm like a man of 70 because good is accumulative. If people wouldn't die, evil would have eternity. Evil would be continuing forever. God says, I don't want eternal evil. So therefore, the purpose of death is to get rid of the evil. That evil is not accumulative. Evil is not something eternal. Evil is something that ceases to exist. Good, on the other hand, is permanent. So any time a person does an aveira, a sin, that itself is not only a cause, a means to death eventually, but the actual sin of separating yourself from God, who is the eternal life, and told us to do it and not to do it, and we didn't listen. So that, what happens is we actually create the concept of death. We just killed ourselves spiritually.
What does that mean?
Spiritually, we should be moved from God.
For how long?
Until we do tshuva or until we die.
And then what happens?
Then we start all over again. Yeah, we start all over again.
I was under the impression that death came along because had they eaten from the tree of
life,
then they would have thought, has Hashem, that they are like God because they would never die.
So God could have taken away the tree, no?
Correct.
You know, if you have a kid, you don't leave dangerous things around and say you don't leave poison around and you say don't eat it. What does a normal parent do? They'll take away the poison. If God didn't want other Medishin to eat from the tree, why a tree of life, why didn't he just take it away? Why did he have to banish him from Gan Eden? Because the answer is, because God wants us to have the ability to do bad and not do it. If God didn't want us to do bad, he could have removed evil from the world. There'd be no evil, and everybody would be such perfect people.
That would be the Mashiach.
Life would be boring out of our mind, by the way. Can you imagine how boring life would be?
But that wouldn't be like a Mashiach.
Huh? Yeah, when Mashiach comes, we'll deal with it then.
Excuse me, may I ask you a question?
It's going to be boring then too, buddy.
When the sin of the golden calf occurred, it says Hashem got mad. However, upon reading the Torah this week, it says Satan was there who encouraged them. Now, when we say Hashem Echad Ushomo Echad, we're saying that Satan is also part of Hashem.
Correct.
Right? So Hashem wanted them to sin with
correct.
The calf
correct.
In order for them to have the opportunity to learn how to do tshuva.
Correct.
Correct? So why would Hashem get mad at them knowing that Hashem did that to them to begin with? Why would he get mad at them?
Because they weren't supposed to do what they did. God just knew the outcome.
But Hashem can put it in their heads to do that.
No. Then they wouldn't have free choice.